I'm going to talk to you today what I was going to talk to you about last week, because God just won't take it off of me. And this really isn't what I would normally speak on Christmas. It is a pre-Christmas message. I want to talk to you about Gabriel's two visits to Zechariah and to Mary. Now, my plan was to speak that last week, and then this week I was going to talk on Emmanuel, God with us. So maybe we'll do that New Year's, we'll see. But I do want to talk to you about Emmanuel, God with us, because I got a challenge for you for 2017 to claim the presence of God more than you ever have before. Emmanuel, God with us. So I'm going to preach a pre-Christmas message on Christmas Day and maybe Christmas message on New Year's. So, well, I want to talk to you about the two visits. And this is a very, very simple message and hopefully a brief message, because I want to be sensitive to the holidays. And I think it's awesome that you've showed up with so many this morning, and in lieu of family gatherings and all, and that the church is a priority to you. That means a lot to me. I want to read from Luke, and I was going to have this on the board or on the wall, obviously, but don't sweat it up there. It's no problem. No one's fault. It's just that happens sometimes. I want to read from Luke chapter 1, and we're talking about Gabriel's visits. And while you're turning to that, Luke chapter 1, Allie read to us from Luke chapter 2, so this is prior to that, the story of Jesus' birth. This is prior to that when Gabriel the archangel, wow, imagine getting a visit from Gabriel. Don't underestimate the chance of an angel showing up to you. Now, don't get caught up in the fairy tale nonsense of, you know, we got people that, you know, kind of make a fairy tale thing out of angels, you know, and they're living a million miles from the Lord, but they got this angel run along with them, you know, and I think people kind of like to make a storybook thing out of it. The truth is that the angelic realm is an awesome, awesome ministry. For God uses them to minister to us. The Bible speaks of angels and ministering spirits. I've been visited by ministering spirits. I say that very cautiously and very reverently. Angels and ministering spirits. Weldon Kleppinger, my best friend's father when I was a young boy. My best friend was killed in a car accident, but have stayed in touch with his family, Weldon Kleppinger, before he died, a man that dearly loved the Lord. I came to his room, and he was shining, and I knew he must have something awful important to tell me. And he said, "Tom, an angel visited me last night and told me that I just have a day or two." And he just, I could have told he was visited by an angelic being without him telling me. You could just see it all over him. He said, "Do you believe me?" And I said, "Oh, absolutely. Absolutely." Visited Pastor Bishop, my mentor. Had the privilege, Howard France and I, to go down together. That was a precious time, wasn't it, Howard, to go down and see him. His mind was slipping from brain cancer. In the world, you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. His mind was slipping from brain cancer, but the sweetness of the Holy Spirit and the kind heart he had was still radiant. He said, "Well, I get my words confused, so I won't say much." So he just smiled at you. But I'm telling you, he ministered more to me in that smile than a lot of sermons I've heard that lasted an hour. I want to radiate with the Lord. I'm asking God in 2017, saturate me with your spirit. We got a world that needs comfort. Don't misunderstand that. The Holy Spirit brings lots of things. And there's a time for awesome display, and there's a time for mighty movings. And we've asked God to touch Wendy, and I'm asking God, you're asking God to do that. But we got a broken and troubled world, and the Holy Spirit comes in a lot of forms. And I've been saying, Lord, saturate me with your spirit. And may I bring comfort and encouragement and blessing. And may my presence be an encouragement to people. People have hard lives. May I be an encouragement to them. Anoint my facial expressions. Help me to smile at the right person in the waiting room at the right time, for a moment can make a difference with someone. Help me to be sensitive to the little things. Angelic visits. Awesome. Visited Pastor Bishop, and he'd sit and smile. And his wife said to us that they had an angelic visit. And that visitor had come to the door and told her that it wouldn't be long. He'd be taking him. Angelic visits are awesome. Imagine being visited by Gabriel the archangel. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. In the time of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing the Lord's commandments blamelessly. Integrity must matter. We got preachers telling us nowadays in packed cathedrals that you can live any old way you want to. It doesn't make a bit of difference. That's not true. May I quote David Wilkerson and say, they're leaving out the cross. It's a colorful gospel. It's popular. It's bringing all kinds of crowds. It's a positive message, but it's leaving out the cross. Is the cross positive? Oh, my goodness. The victory that overcometh the world's our faith in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. The ministry absolutely is positive. Does it create positive thinking? Absolutely. But tell, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. Unless you deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. And there's a cross to be carried. And he certainly carried one for us. So here's Zechariah the priest. He and Elizabeth, his wife, and they had no children. I'm leading up. Some of you are unfamiliar. This is the parents of John the Baptist. They had no children because Elizabeth was barren, unable to have children. And they were both well along in years. Now when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. And he will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. He will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will never take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth." Amazing. Many of the people of Israel will be brought back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Okay. That's the background. Now here's what I want to talk to you about. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is old and well along in years. Remember that. It's going to have that on the wall. How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man. My wife is well along in years. Verse 19. And the angel said, "I am Gabriel." That's awesome. "I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. And I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent or muted." Lose his ability to speak. Interesting that he was a priest, so his main giftedness was speaking. And he lost it because of his hesitation. His hesitation. I was going to have on the wall hesitation versus surety. How can I be sure of this? Now, angel, do you know the details here? I'm an old man. My wife, how can I be? I am Gabriel. And I stand in the presence of God. and you're going to be silent and not be able to speak until this thing happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. Wow. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. Why hasn't he come out? But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. But when his time of service was completed, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace. All right, so take that and set that over here. Gabriel appears. We're talking about Gabriel's two visits. Gabriel appears to Zechariah. Says, you're going to have a son. You're going to name him John. Now, keep in mind, Zechariah is a priest. He knows the Old Testament. Gabriel quoted the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, and said he's going to go forth in the power and spirit of Elijah and turn the hearts of the fathers. He's going to be a powerful man. His response, hesitancy to believe what God gave him. Now, how can this be? Now, wait a second. How can this be? I'm old and my wife's old. How can this be? This is the last Sunday of 2016. What God kept saying to me this week is put before the group today on this last Sunday, for next Sunday is the first. This is the last Sunday of the year. What's your choice this next year? Because it will determine the Holy Spirit working mightily in your life this coming year. I believe that we're entering a new realm of the vision here at CMO. In Joel it says, and again in Acts it says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on your sons and daughters. We've called the broken. We've put it on the end of the building. We've made it clear all over the 3-county area of who we want. We want the ones nobody wants, because we believe in second chances, as Howard said. We believe that God can take guys that were in prison and make a pastor out of them. I often said I was the only pastor in Indiana that had an assistant that was still on parole. But I love it. This is a year when God wants to work within us, but it'll be up to us. And there's a big question I have for you: hesitancy or surety? So keep that in mind as we go ahead and read. Now in the 6th month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. This was the second visit of Gabriel. This is an awesome story. And the angel went to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored. Wouldn't that be cool? I'd love to be walking by the river someday and Gabriel step out behind a tree and say, greetings, you're highly favored. Wow. Don't underestimate. Go ahead and ask the Lord to do something unusual. Go ahead. Step out on it. I've done it. Say, Lord, I'm not wanting a sign. I'm not wanting to brag. I'm not wanting any attention. Now, if you're tainted, that hinders it. I'm not wanting any of that. I want to know you better, and I'm willing to do the homework, and I'm willing to spend the time with you. And you know what I found? He'll show up. And I'm not telling you all the secrets, but he'll show up. He'll show up. Oh, boy, I'm tempted. You're highly favored and the Lord is with you, man. Come on, Gabriel, say that again. What was that? You're highly favored, the Lord's with you. Man, that's what we want. That's what we want in 2017. I don't care if I got a newer vehicle this next year, do you? I don't care about that stuff. That's just more payments. I don't care about that stuff. As I get older, I'm finding I'm less attached. May I say something to you, and many of you are here, that when you begin seeking the pearl at great price, other things will dim in comparison. The old song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, I quoted a couple of weeks ago. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You get a hold of the pearl at great price. You get a hold of the living water. That other stuff's cheap. Oh, you enjoy it. Yeah, you enjoy it. I love the things that I have. I give the Lord thanks all the time. I'll walk to the barn and feed my horses and say, thank you that I have the privilege of having these cool horses. And thank you that I have a place like this back. I'm a emotional guy, and I'm back a long lane, kind of secluded in a grove of oak trees. And Lord, thank you for this place. But you know what? Paul the Apostle said, when I take everything physical and put it next to what Christ is, it's all rubble. Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was, I'd love to see this. And I think we might get to see some of this stuff. We got videos and all, iTunes. God can do better than that. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. She's a young Jewish girl. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called Son of the Most High." My goodness. Now, wait a minute. Zechariah's announcement was pretty awesome, you know. You and Elizabeth are going to have a baby, and you're old. But now, wait a second. This is off the charts. You're a young Jewish virgin girl, and you're going to have a child, and he's going to be Son of the Most High. Joseph wasn't his daddy. He's going to be Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. What? I'm 15 years old. I don't know how old Mary was at the time. There's estimates on that. I'll stay out of that. I'm a young Jewish girl, and I'm going to have a baby, and God's going to be the father? And you're going to give him the throne of his father David, King David, awesome King David that we read in history about? And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary said, since I'm a virgin? Logical question. And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." Boy, I'd go a lot of directions with this. "And the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Boy, I could go lots of directions with this. Psalms 91, "He that dwelleth in the secret place," intimate, close, secret place, "the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty." You spend time with God. You connect with God. Something will happen in your life. Something unusual will happen in your life. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And the Holy One to be born of you will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who was barren is in her sixth month of pregnancy. For nothing is impossible with God." For nothing is impossible with God. We sang it a while ago. Nothing is impossible with God. Now, the climactic point here. Verse 38. Why do we give Mary so much credit and we don't worship Mary? Jesus is to be worshipped. Mary will tell you that. But why do we give Mary so much credit? Her response of becoming overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and conceiving a child with God as his father that would take the throne of David and be the savior of the world was, "I am the Lord's handmaiden. May it be as you have said." Wow. And I quoted the King James because in the King James it says handmaiden. In the NIV it says, "I am the Lord's servant." But actually handmaiden in that particular passage is a better translation because a handmaiden was a certain kind of a servant. The handmaiden was the lowly one who attended to your personal needs and would kind of do the dishes around the house and be there to be your hands and feet and pick up your slippers. And it was a very lowly position. Mary's response to becoming the mother of Jesus was, "I am Here it is. I am your handmaiden. May it be according to your word." Oh, the difference. Hesitancy versus surety. What's it going to be in 2017? Hesitancy versus surety. Zechariah, I don't know. Zechariah's miracle wasn't near this one, in my opinion. They're all miracles. How can I be sure of this? Now notice Gabriel standing with Mary. Mary, realizing she'd never been with a man, asked a logical question. But Zachariah's question was rooted in hesitancy. How can I be sure? In other words, prove it to me. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, 6, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And my message to you this morning on the last Sunday of this year is what are you going to believe God for and step out on in 2017? Are we going to be hesitant? Are we going to have surety? I'm saying that with passion because God's been saying that to me. God has birthed the vision at CMO in the last 5 years incredibly. It's awesome how far we've come. The birthing was painful. There were some difficult circumstances. Birthings are always painful. But the more painful the birth, the more joyous the delivery. And we got a bouncing baby boy. And we've got a new ministry here, and God has even opened up to oversee some things I didn't expect to see coming. And God is working through various things, and we've got the building and property prepared, which are secondary to the spiritual, but we're soon to open the rescue resort. And God has been drawing me back to that precious pad that he gave me in 2011 when I went to Colorado, of the vision for CMO and what God wants us to do. And God has been stirring my heart and then saying to me, are you going to say, I am the handmaiden of the Lord, be it according to your word? That's what we're going to do. Or, I don't know if I can be sure of this. Could you offer me some proof? I'm not sure how I feel about this. And my wife's pretty old and I'm pretty old. Let's have some proof. Hesitancy, or surety. Which is it? Now, I'm going to totally trust what I believe to be my leading here. I am going to read now from Matthew 14, and I'm going to wind this up a little bit here for too long. Matthew 14, we're talking about hesitancy because I feel like this is what God would have us do. This isn't real Christmassy, okay? But this is what God gave me, and I believe it's right for you this morning and for me. Matthew 14, verse 23 through 33, I want to tie in. Now, we're talking about surety and hesitancy. What is it that God has spoken to your heart? And there's the hesitancy. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I've quoted that quite twice now. But I want that planted in your mind. Now, Matthew 14, 23 through 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go ahead of him to the other side of the lake while he dismissed the crowd. Jesus had just fed the 5,000. He tells the disciples, stay with me, he tells the disciples to get in the boat. We're talking about hesitancy versus surety. He tells the disciples to get in the boat and go on to the other side. After he had dismissed them, he went up to a mountainside himself to pray. My, oh my, that's convicting. After feeding 5,000 people, and that was just the men, they estimate that crowd to be 15,000 to 20,000, set them all down in 50s, and broke enough bread to feed all of them. I'd be going home saying, Pam, I'm going to take a break and get me a nap. After he dismissed them, he went to the mountainside to pray by himself. Wow. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat that he had sent the disciples on was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. So he sends the disciples off. He goes off into the mountain to pray and replenish after feeding the 15,000, 20,000 people. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. Now, I got to stay on focus here because there's all kinds of messages in this. It's a ghost. They saw him walking. They were terrified. Oh, it's a ghost, they said. They cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. I got to say this, and I'll not run off on a tangent. Sometimes, my friends, some of you praying at the altar this morning, some news comes and the devil shouts, "It's a ghost." Jesus' answer was, "It is I, be not afraid." Now, I don't think cancer's from God, so I don't want that theologically being misunderstood. But that ghost out on the water that we cry out in terror, that very thing that would crumble us, "Oh no, I never thought this would happen to me. Oh no, this thing I'm going through, I never dreamed anything would happen like me." He says, "It is I, be not afraid." He will be in the eye of the storm. He will be in the center of it all. And I don't believe cancer from God, so I don't want anything, Mr. Stan, there's been people fuss with me about that because of the title of my book. But God gave me that title, and there's reasons, and it's brought a lot of people to it. But I found that God was in the midst of that situation. And then when I went to room 6814, my first room, that God was there in the eye of the storm. And when the house burnt down, God was in the eye of the storm. And when we dealt with horribly situations with wayward children and addictions in our home, God was in the eye of the storm. "It's a ghost." "Oh, no. No, it is I. Be not afraid. It is I. Be not afraid." All right, stay with me. We're talking about surety versus hesitancy. I had Pam run home, turn the oven down on your turkey, so it's fine. Jesus said, "Take courage, don't be afraid." And Peter said, Peter gets a lot of criticism, but I'm going to tell you something, we got to hand it to him on his one. "Lord, if that's you, tell me to come to you on the water." Oh, that's surety, isn't it? Water? You're going to walk on the water? Jesus is walking on the water? If this is you, we can criticize Peter all we want. And he asked for some of it. "Lord, if this is you, you tell me and I'll come to you on the water." Wow. That's being pretty sure. He didn't know about the water. I'm sure he wasn't sure about the storm, and I don't know how good a boat they were in, but he sure sounded sure of Jesus. Because he said, "If you tell me to do it, I'll do it." Now, that's why we spend time with God. We want to get clarity. That's why we spend time with God. Why are we always carrying on about spend time with God, spend time with God? Because that's how you hear his voice. There's a million voices out there. Seek the voice of God, but then when you hear it, act on it. Not hesitancy, surety. If you can make a New Year's resolution in the next 6 days, make that one. In 2017, today is the last day of 2016, "Lord, help me to step forward with surety, not hesitancy. I am the handmaiden of the Lord. May it be according to your word." If that's you, you just call me. All you got to do, and I'll come to you on the water. And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Peter got down out of the boat, stepped over the side of the boat, onto the water, and walked out to Jesus. That means you got to let go of the boat. I'll come back to that in a minute. Got to let go of the boat. Sometimes we'll throw a leg over, but we won't let go of the boat. I've hung on to the boat. Scary, let go of the boat. But when he saw the wind, when he saw the report that came in, when he saw the blood test, been there, when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. When he began to look at circumstances, physical circumstances, what takes away our surety, Kevin? It's when we start looking at physical circumstances instead of Jesus. Mary looked right back at Gabriel and said, "All right, I'm in. I'm the handmaiden of the Lord. That means I'll wash your feet if you want me to, and let it be just exactly like you said." I want to be that servant. Anybody with me? I want to be that servant. What creates the hesitancy? Looking at physical circumstances. But what about this? I'm 90 years old, Abraham says, and we're going to have a son? The man of faith stepped out. Hesitancy versus surety. What is it that God's calling you to step out on? All right, I'm almost done. Four things, and I'm going to say them. Visualize them in your mind. 2017, number one, seek his voice. Seek his voice. We've paved the way for that in our preaching. Come on. And in our teaching and Bible studies, we've paved the way. We're talking about intimacy with God and time with God all the time. We're wearing you out with it. But why? Because that's key. That's key. You got to make your schedule work in 2017. You got to spend time with God. You have to, however you do it, you don't have to do it the way I do it, but you've got to seek his voice. Then step out of the boat. Step out of the boat with surety. What is it this year that God would say to you? Step out of the boat. So seek his voice. Step out of the boat. Number three, let go of the boat. There's a difference between just stepping out, as I said a moment ago, and letting go. I got tested on that when we planted CMO. I had sought God's voice, and I went to Colorado. Not saying it for any credit or praise or anything else, but I don't think there's a lot of people, and there are some. I don't know a whole list of people that have taken a year. I felt like I needed to do that. I needed a break, but I also needed to know what my final season of my life is. I want to go out in a blaze of glory, all right? I want to go out in a blaze of glory. Lord, what's my final season? The autumn should be the prettiest. What do you have me do? And I went to Colorado, fasted, spent time with God through that year, gave that year to prayer, and a lot of fasting that year. I heard God's voice. I know I heard God's voice. I heard it over and over, and I made note after note after note after note. So seek his voice. But then you got to step out of the boat. And I did step out of the boat and did some things that didn't look right to everybody. No criticism intended. Just being honest. That's going to happen. When God asks you to step out of the boat, there's going to be things that don't look right to everybody. Go ahead, do the third step. Let go of the boat. My boat was Skinner Chapel. God had moved mightily at Skinner Chapel. I was anointed in that building. Don't think I didn't have attachments. I was anointed in that building, and God healed me of cancer. I had my mother's funeral in that building. Don't talk to me about it. I'm not being smart. I'm just telling you. I had my father's funeral there. Don't tell me there weren't attachments, but God told me to let go of the boat. I don't know what your boat is. I'm just telling you mine. But I came to a point where I knew God told me, and he said, are you going to let go of the boat or not? Yeah, I'm going to let go of the boat. I'm going to let go of the boat. And I confess to you that I had a period of time when I was getting criticism and things for that vision. Nothing intended here. Don't read a thing into this. I got to talk out of my experience, okay? That's what I have. But there was a period of time where I caught myself glancing at the waves. Oh, mercy, that wave's going to be pretty high. Oh, my, that might take me over. Are you going to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and let go of the boat and come to me on the water and see the miracles God wants to do with surety? God said to me. Everybody's got their boat. I don't know what yours is. I've had many over the years. That particular time I'm talking about, some of you went through that with us. So I know you can relate to it. But God called me to step out and let go of the boat. So seek his voice. Step out of the boat. Let go of the boat. I'll come down here so you'll listen. Five more minutes. Follow through. That's where we drop the ball. Follow through. It seems to me, and I have no percentages to give you, but it seems to me that there are times we seek his voice. It seems to me there are even times our adrenaline's up and our faith is good and we take a step and let go of the boat, but it also seems to me that we have trouble following through. Am I right? That's why the parable of the sower and the seed, only 25% produced fruit, because they didn't follow through. When the sun came out, things got hot in the kitchen, they abandoned ship. When the thorns came up and began to choke out, they abandoned ship. And honestly, I say this hesitantly, not looking at anyone, got no one in mind, but I think there's a bunch of us that haven't followed through real well on God, what God told us to do. Now, you got to be sure of that. There's time periods where you need to evaluate that. I think my son's going through that right now, my youngest son, Kevin. I think he's going through a time of evaluation right now. There's value to that. I'm encouraging him to do that. You want to hear his voice. You want clarity. I have no question. If he had clarity, he'd step out of that clarity. I have no question about that. There's time for that. Daddy used to say there's shelf time as a Christian. There's shelf time. The Bible says we go in at night and find pasture. There's time God will call us back in, put us on the shelf for a little bit. And Kevin's going through that right now, a time of reevaluating, a time of rethinking. Lord, I want to make sure I hear your voice. I don't want to jump out on the wrong side of the boat. I don't want to hear your voice. But I think follow through in American Christians, so many distractions, we don't follow through very well. And we feel kind of convicted because we remember something God told us. We had some surety at the time. But we didn't follow through very well. Now, this ain't going to happen this way to you, but God's promise to Noah was 120 years. You can think, man, if some people say to me, well, I prayed about this, and I've been waiting 3 months, what's God up to anyway? Now, I realize that was destroying the world by water, and there was mercy to the sinners and all that involved, but it was 120 years before he saw it. God takes his time by our standards. I say that reverently. I'm no one to say God takes his time. He does what he wants, and he's right. But I say that reverently. Seek his voice, 2017. Step out of the boat. Let go of the boat. That's another step. Let go of the boat. Stand out here on the water and hang on to the boat. I've been there. Follow through. Are you Zechariah or are you Mary? Hesitancy or surety? Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord, for this awesome group on Christmas Sunday the 25th. I would ask that each person here would weigh out what I've said. I believe that you gave me this message for this group, for this period of time, for this day today. I believe it. I believe that. Sure of that. No hesitancy. Use it in the life of each person. Convict us in the areas we need convicted and guide us. And may your hand be on us. Then, Lord, I would ask your blessing and guidance to be on this group. I feel honored to be their shepherd, along with other leaders to guide and direct and comfort and hopefully encourage them. And I'd ask in Jesus' name that their day will be blessed today. Be with our church in Haiti. May your hand be on them. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And I want to tell you that Pam and I deeply, deeply love you. Merry Christmas. You're dismissed.